welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Kara Hetland, and we're broadcasting from the studios at the University of Sioux Falls. And we're going to talk a little bit about Friends of the Big Sioux River. And joining me now are, let me get this straight because we added one, Matthew McClarty, welcome. Greg Veerman, welcome. And Dana Loski. Thanks for being here. I'm going to have you move your microphone down just a little bit in front of your mouth. So let's start with Matthew. Let's explain what's happening.
Well, we've gotten together with some folks in Sioux Falls, groups from the environmental concerns, conservation groups, and local downtown businesses to really form a coalition and get it finally cleaning up the Big Sioux River. And making it really the showcase that Sioux Falls deserves.
Okay, so in 2012, the Big Sioux was identified as the 13th dirtiest river in the nation. So it's been 3 years, and this is just where it needs to be. Has this been happening for the last 3 years?
You know, I think that we're coming to a time in Sioux Falls. We've seen a great deal of development in downtown Sioux Falls. The new greenway down there by Ethan Railroad is really spectacular. And we've invested so much money into, the kind of shores and the sides of the Big Sioux River that we've sort of forgotten about the river itself. And, waterways in the United States, there's a lot of different regulatory organizations that kind of oversee that, from the federal government right down to the city. So we are putting together a group that is going to, sort of look at those policies. But the first thing we want to do is begin a conversation with the people of Sioux Falls so that they understand that if, you live on the west side of town or in the middle of town, what you do on an everyday basis affects what goes into that river, and begin the process of cleaning it up from there.
So it's going to take all of Sioux Falls to make this happen.
It's absolutely a group effort. It's little things that people can do every day.
Like what?
Dana has really kind of drawn up a bunch of those, and maybe he can speak to that a little bit.
Okay. Well, let me just say one thing. We just don't want to make this a Sioux Falls effort. This isn't just a...
Let's see. Your mic is not... Why is that not working? Will you hand him yours while we figure this out? That would be great. Sorry. I'll let you talk while I wander here.
One thing we want to clarify, this isn't just a Sioux Falls effort. We want to make this an Eastern South Dakota effort. The Big Sioux starts up around Summit and drains all the way down to the Missouri River in Sioux City. So whether you're living in the Glacial Lakes area from Brookings to Watertown, or whether you're from in the Dalles area south to Sioux Falls, it's a great river, and we need to have the entire watershed really take ownership of it. There are two aspects to the pollution or the contaminants that enter the Big Sioux River. One being the agricultural aspect of it, which, drains farm fields and pastures and so forth. And the other aspect is the urban environment. And there's a lot of federal agencies that are working on the and state agencies working on the agricultural side of it, but we need to focus on the urban environment, because there's been very little done on the urban side as far as cleaning up the river. And so that's really where our initial focus is going to be. And there are a lot of different things that we can do. And one of the things, if you look at it from a broad perspective, one of it is probably the way we develop our neighborhoods, how the city expands. The second is really what we do at our homes on a daily basis, the way we take care of our lawns and yards. And probably the third is really what we do at our businesses. And so if each one of those entities, looks at their water use and say, what can we do differently, I think we'll make a big improvement.
So it's how we use water, how much I water my lawn has an impact on the Big Sioux River?
Yes, especially...
because that's where we get our water from, right?
We get about a third of our water from the Big Sioux River. A third comes from the Lewis and Clark, and a third comes from the well water. So the Big Sioux River does have an impact on health because of the fact that we do take some drinking water out of the Big Sioux River. Mm-hmm. And what you do in your lawn, you could, the way you treat your lawn, you put too many fertilizers on, too much fertilizer, you put too many pesticides or herbicides on it, and that washes off. If you don't have good topsoil on your lawn for the water to groundwater to penetrate, that stuff will roll off just as, the water will run off your lawn into the storm sewers just as easily as the water would run off this desk. It's a very hard surface. It's very impermeable, and we need to improve your topsoil. That's one of the first things that a homeowner can do.
is improve their topsoil.
Right.
So it's not just taking from the Big Sioux, it's how it runs back into the Big Sioux as well.
Right, right.
Okay. Okay, and we have a lot of, like, Skunk Creek, I know, is by my house. So does that has an impact on what runs into Skunk Creek, then runs into the Big Sioux as well?
Absolutely. Skunk Creek is about 70% of the water that flows through the city of Sioux Falls is from Skunk Creek and not directly from the Big Sioux River. So there have been some agencies doing some really good work on the called seasonal riparian area management on the Skunk Creek to get cattle off the creek and to restore the stream banks in it, and it's working very well. So we want to applaud the efforts on their side.
Okay, and we're just slowly getting our mics fixed, but let's go to you, Greg, just a little bit and talk about how are we getting the word out to people? I'm assuming that's your job.
Well, that's certainly part of it. and actually, that's kind of the issue, is straight-up awareness. We are all very excited about the development that is going on at an explosive rate here in the city of Sioux Falls. And yet the sort of centerpiece of our town and quite honestly the namesake of our city has just been neglected. I think largely because people don't really think about the river, think about the ecosystem that runs through our town. So we launched the group officially. We're a nonprofit, a 501c3, mm-hmm. Launched last week. Mm-hmm. And really the first assignment is to let people know that we're here and to find supporters who are willing to come alongside us and make contributions to some of the things that we are looking to do. So to the extent that, Dana has offered some practical advice, tips and tricks that everyone can and should take within the city limits. There's also a bigger assignment on our plate, and that is to generate an ongoing sustainable awareness about the river and to make it the subject of interest and action from people when it comes to choosing policymakers, making decisions about how the city grows, and engaging other community assets like churches, other sort of membership type organizations to really think about, the fact that we do live on a watershed and that, decisions that we make in our day-to-day lives affect it. So let's, on the one hand, not only think about remediating sins of the past, but to promote virtues of the future. And that just comes with a mindset. So, we'd like to launch a campaign, and we have developed some communications around that. But it's a very, very simple objective. We just want people to start recognizing the river and recognizing the watershed that they live on that feeds it.
So you can't just go to the falls and say, oh, look at all the bubbles and wonder what that is, right?
Yeah, you absolutely can. And I think everybody's had the experience of, having some out-of-town guests come into Sioux Falls, and you take them around, you show them the sights, and you take them out to the falls, and you hope it's a good day out there. Because if it's a bad day, people wonder why our namesake smells like it does and looks like it does.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's important to recognize that as excited as everyone is about how great things are going with the Sioux Falls economy and how things seem to be exploding, and we've got all kinds of wonderful developments downtown and even businesses to the south of town, that the quality of the water itself, the ecosystem of the river itself, can and will be an asset to our community. Or to the point that, we hope it's a good day right now, it could, it can also be a drag on our economic and cultural development. So Friends of the Big Sioux River is really here as much for economic and cultural development as we are for the health and safety of the riverway itself. So, four kind of things we want to accomplish. Number one, a healthy river is going to help attract the people we'd like to come to Sioux Falls, whether it's workers or visitors. Certainly the health and safety of the river for our families, our children, who have now, even though it's very cold today, we think should be coming out of hibernation soon and will be reengaging with the river, whether it's, sports activities or summer camps, this sort of thing. We want that river to be a safe place for them to interact with the ecosystem and their pets and so forth. And then, of course, the last is just a question of cost. We think that a healthy, clean river actually saves taxpayers money in terms of what it takes to manage wastewater treatment. So
is it fair to say that the Big Sioux has been neglected?
I would say so. It's been neglected. You know, the Clean Water Act was in 1972, and it addressed point source pollution and left non-point source pollution pretty much as a voluntary thing to do. And so, you know, if you look at it, it's been four decades or more that, you know, we've had voluntary, and I think it pretty much proves that voluntary doesn't work. But that's what we have to work with, and so we have to make sure that people do the right thing. But it's decades of neglect, and it's decades of this accumulated non-point source pollution, not only in the river system and the watershed, but also even on our own kind of forgetfulness that this is what happens when you think someone else is taking care of things, and I don't have to. It's not my fault. It's someone else's problem.
Okay.
It is our problem, and it is it's our solution.
So it's kind of a if now, if not now, when kind of a situation.
Right. I mean, the longer we wait to act and really get in and work with people to clean up the river, the worse it's going to get. And with all the development that's going on downtown, now is the perfect time to put the focus back on the river and what we can do to clean it up.
Okay, so becoming a nonprofit does what for this organization?
Well, it basically allows donors to deduct on their tax on their taxes for whatever they donate to you. As a 501c3, we basically are not allowed to, do anything on legislatively as far as advocating on behalf of certain candidates, and we don't intend to do that. We feel it's every stakeholder that we need to engage, whether you're for the river, whether you're for agriculture, whether you're for big business. All of us have to realize that we're all in this together to clean up the river. You know, we only have about 25 inches of rain a year in eastern South Dakota, and if our economy is booming both on the agricultural side of it and on the urban side of it, we can't afford to waste any of the water. We can't afford to get any more contaminated. We need fresh water, not only for the cities, but also for the ag community.
And is it mostly ag runoff that's polluting the river, or is it coming from, some of the industries nearby?
The city study that they conducted from Respect Engineering identified that on the E. coli side, it was about a 50-50 split between the urban environment and the agricultural environment. And on the total sediments, they recognize it's about 70% from the agricultural and 30% from the city. But again, those are just studies, and you take studies over a long period of time, and it can change. Like after a big rain, like this last week, you'd probably have just as much sediment runoff from local building sites here in Sioux Falls as you would have from the farm fields. So, it's, again, we don't want to point fingers at anybody. We just all need to look at ourselves, say, what can we do with what we touch to improve the quality of the water and the abundance of water in the river.
Well, if I may, I think the first people we're going to point fingers at are those of us here in the city. We're very aware that we need to partner with folks in rural communities and farmers, but we want to earn the right to invite them to the table. We welcome them at the table right now, but we want to try to lead by example and say, look, let's get our own house in order first. So that's kind of where we're focusing straight out of the gate, because we do think that, even though the statistics that Dana shares can change, week to week, year to year, we do know that we've got some responsibility. So let's come together as a community in the city. And once we get something going here, then we can, then we can reach out and say, hey, rural communities, what else can you do partner with us?
Well, so you just answered my next question, because it just seems like such a monumental task to clean up the river. So you start in our own house right here in Sioux Falls, and then you broaden it out. But how do you go about reaching all of these people?
Well, there's a number of ways. We're going to be reaching out to community leaders up and down the waterway here. We're going to talk with people in Watertown and get them invested in this project as well. It's going to take way more than us. The Big Sioux is going to need a lot more friends than they have right now. So
there's more than just the three of you, right?
There is more than just the three of us, okay. Yeah. We've been meeting monthly for a while now, and we're getting some pretty good crowds to our monthly meetings, people that are interested in this and interested in how we go about doing this. But, back to the question, it's a series of engagements. It's a series of talking to people in the dairy communities up and down the riverway, getting, not going to them and saying, this is what you need to do, but rather engaging with them to find the solutions that work for their operation and work for the river. We're looking for the win-win situations up and down the river. You know, the technology and the ideas about how you, you know, terrace land have vastly improved over the past 10, 20 years. And it's sort of a matter of, you know, finding the right incentives and finding the right, you know, people to lead up and down the waterway that is really going to make the biggest impact.
And so, I mean, the Big Sioux goes all the way, you know, north of Watertown as well, right?
Right.
So it's all of these communities that you need to have outreach to. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So you're meeting monthly?
Yes.
Is that part of it?
Yeah.
And is it open to the public? Or
yes. We invite everybody to come to our meetings.
And when and where are they?
They're usually held on a Wednesday night. We'll announce it depending on when we can get the library meeting rooms free. And they're usually the second Wednesday of each month. And we've usually been having them at the...
Downtown Library?
No, the library that's...
Kale.
Kaylee Branch?
Kaylee Branch Kaylee. Library, I'm sorry.
Okay, and that's on 49th Street,
yes.
Right? Okay, near
not
the Big
too far.
Sioux.
There
right near
right
the Big
there,
Sioux.
On the bike trail. I mean, yeah. We're seeing more bikers along the bike trail. It kind of just kind of goes around the Big Sioux. So is that kind of a way to draw more attention to recreation as well?
Absolutely. I mean, we've got representatives from the Sioux Falls Kayak Association that we work mm-hmm. with on there. And, yeah, the trails are definitely a big kind of... you know, way to get people involved with this. I like to tell the story that my wife and I like to, you know, take our dogs for, you know, walks around the amazing trail system that we have in Sioux Falls. I would never let my dog drink out of the river, though. And I don't think that, you know, the people that really love the trails, love to get out there and run or bike or, you know, whatever, they want a healthy waterway that they don't have to have that kind of fear about, you know, I mean... Greg's kids have attended, you know, camp down on the river side mm-hmm. before, and they don't get to utilize the river as probably as fully as they could if it were a clean river.
Yeah, you don't think of the Big Sioux as a recreational place.
I was just going to say you know, we have six state parks in the lower Big Sioux, and all of the waterways in each one of those state parks is listed as impaired on the DENR, you know, website. And if you go on the South Dakota Parks website, none of them really promote any recreation in the water. And you think, how much more could that be enhanced if you could have canoe rentals and kayak rentals at each of those state parks to, and even have a little swimming beach or something for them to enjoy? So it's just, again, it's just not limited to Sioux Falls. There's benefits. I mean, over 40 years ago, a group called Rise that was saying we should develop a canoe and kayak trail all the way from Watertown all the way down to Sioux City. What an economic development tool that would be. And here we sit today in 2015, and we're still saying, hey, that would be a great idea.
Yeah, yeah. So do you have a timeline? Do you have goals? I'm cutting to the chase here.
No,
I'll
no,
look at it
and
like
that's a very good question. you know, part of that we're developing right now. Yeah, obviously, the first step is engagement with the community, getting you know, ideas out there. You know, the water is tested every year, so that kind of gives us a bit of a you know, a litmus test every year. Are we doing something? Are the levels going down? You know, and we, like Greg has said, we start in Sioux Falls, we expand to go, you know, up and down the river to engage these people. We've got to look at the policies that are involved with. You know, governing what goes into the river and how many much amounts, and that's at the federal, state, and sometimes county, city levels. So it's a lot of work. I wouldn't say that we'll be able to come back here next year and tell you
it's you're
pristine.
Done.
Yeah, we did it.
But it's going to take time.
It's going to take a long time. It's going to people have to you know, think differently about their river. You know, that it is an asset. That it's. And, it, you know, it goes far beyond just, you know, enjoying a nice summer day there. The healthy river is good for Sioux Falls.
Yeah, the journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step. But our vision is very, very simple. Just a clean, healthy, safe river that we can all enjoy and share with pride. And we think that starting with the city of Sioux Falls, you know, if people can get behind this vision, then that will sustain itself. You know, we think that what we do about the river says something about our community, that a clean river would not only be the crown jewel on the Queen City, but would also be the punctuation mark of a great story. And we're just trying to get that story started. You know, we can look all around the country at remediation and restoration projects in other cities that have spurred economic development. So to the extent that taking care of the river for the sake of the environment isn't enough for you, maybe taking care of the river just to help this place grow in a way that's good for all of us, that we can all be proud of, you know, we'll get you there. But that's got to start today. And I think that it starts with simple awareness. Let's start thinking about this river and working together on it.
Okay. I hate to say it, but we are out of time for this segment. But we will have you back and we'll continue to follow the story.
Right. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you all both all for coming on Dakota Midday today. When we come back, we'll take your lawn and garden questions. You're listening to Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting.